Welcome to Ask the CIO, brought to you by Learning Tree International. And now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to this special edition of Ask the CIO. Federal Chief Information Officer Steve Enroekel spoke at the Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia last week, and then followed his speech with a reporter's roundtable. Today, we bring you excerpts from both. Enroekel covered a range of topics during his speech, including the challenges and failings of the healthcare.gov website. He starts off by answering a question about the Affordable Care Act portal and the use of agile development.
Like, I can't and won't here be extensively retrospective on healthcare.gov. Our goal here and the driving force for us is getting this thing working and committing to the resources of driving forward on a solution for what's broken. And the project seems to be on a very good trajectory. The timeline that Jeff Zients laid out publicly and talked about that. On the specific technical aspects, I would recommend talking to CMS or going up to the tech blog that they are now, looks like they're doing daily on the project. I think the overarching themes of federal IT that I've been talking about for the last few years have been a lot about, you know, how do you build systems that are more modular, that lower the risk surface, that engage new technologies and things like that. And there are aspects of government that makes it hard to move at the speed in which you would love to move. I mean, procurement and the way we implement technology, a lot of those things, I think, we need to look at those things in this context as a teachable moment and think about how we can continue to evolve and drive these systems forward.
Could you foresee procurement reform or something around, and I know procurement is not your specialty per se, but you do work closely with Joe Jordan.
Yeah.
Could you foresee something coming from the White House around procurement changes, whether specifically around IT, because there's been so much talk about the broken processes?
I think there's opportunity space for procurement reform. It's not, you know, in my wheelhouse to drive procurement reform, but I will definitely share thoughts and ideas with the folks who do. I think the way we implement technology, the speed at which technology moves, oftentimes it's challenging to drive innovation in the context of cycles that take 6-9 months, a year or more to implement technology. By the time you get the procurement done, technology will change. But procurement's not the only thing. I mean, it takes great governance, great management, an eye towards cybersecurity. All these things have to come in concert. And that's, I think, our statements today at the ACT-IAC conference were really about, you know, that it takes a village. It's not just the CIO's role to think about implementation of these things. It's the CFO, the CAO, the deputy, the secretary of these departments have to step up and see the value here and do this stuff going forward.
The priorities for 2014, you talk about the people, kind of the new of the four priorities. There's been attempts over the years by OPM, by your office, to professionalize either cybersecurity or professionalize project and program management for specifically around IT. There's a talk about the cadre of IT professionals. What are your thinking? What are your, if you can go to the next level down, if you're able to, around your priorities around the people? It's recruiting, it's training, it's redeployment. We get that. But are there specific goals within each of those?
Right now, we're still at the ideation stage on what is the art of the possible and starting conversations with folks on what would it take. You know, doing things like market pay in a very specific slice of government is really hard just because it's easy to justify many parts of government. Think of doctors in VA hospitals to cybersecurity experts. You know, that there's a broad spectrum there of people that probably could entertain a much, much larger salary outside the walls of government. I think we have to look at the complete package and think about what we're doing from the employee standpoint to drive the best and brightest and attract them to government. Today in the Q&A portion after the speech, I mentioned impact at scale and Dan Tangerlini talked about patriotism and how those play a huge role in attracting great people to government. I think those are opportunity spaces that we don't fully seize upon and really kind of giving people a rotational opportunities and other things to really experience the breadth of government and have a impact in a much broader sense. So it's things like that we're starting to explore and thinking about, as well as training, mentoring, you know, it's kind of the basic block and tackle stuff that we don't fully embrace everywhere.
The theme of his priorities for 2014 continued with questions about the technologies he's focusing on.
The key focus areas for me are one around innovation. You know, I brought up today in the speech the area of effectiveness. You know, how are we serving the American people through technology, through through online platforms, continuing our momentum in the digital strategy on applications and doing things in a way that are outside looking in versus inside looking out, so breaking down those walls. Cost savings are continue to be a priority in driving, you know, new ways of buying through strategic sourcing and thinking about new mechanisms there. And then cybersecurity is going to continue to evolve. I think that probably the most exciting area there in 2014 is our continuous diagnostics and monitoring technology that will secure federal networks by looking at them in what has been a paper-based product in a real-time way.
Van Rogels then asked about the technologies that will help move his agenda forward.
Mobile technology taking over for kind of on-premise technology, so to speak. You know, today in the federal government, we treat cell phones, mobile devices, and computers differently. Those are managed differently. They're secured differently. They're all those things. We're very, very close. You know, I'd say in the next 5 to 10 years, at least in the private sector, and you're starting to see this with the Microsoft Surface and the iPads and the Droid tablets and things like that starting to blend in these worlds, starting to collide, mm-hmm. as well as commercial laptops selling with 4G antennas built into them and things, where those worlds are coming together and are blending in a way that are going to change the dynamic. Well, that'll have both a productivity impact on government, just from the standpoint of how we do our work. It'll have a security impact on how we actually think about security, because we're treating those differently today is a miss. But probably more importantly, much like we've seen with smart devices and iPhones and things like that out there, it'll change citizens' expectations of their government. And it's that force tends to be, I think, the strongest one in driving change inside government. Because when a citizen spends their time dealing with consumer technology and then has to go and, you know, watch someone at an office type something into a green screen terminal, that's not a great 21st century experience. And so I think citizens, the internet generation as they grow up, et cetera, will expect more from their government. And it'll be largely driven by the embracing of consumer technology at those spaces.
The shutdown and the open data deadlines came up next. Van Rokels asked about whether agencies will meet the deadlines for open data that are coming in early November.
Yeah, agencies look like they're in pretty good shape for the open data deliverables. We are going to leave some flexibility for the government shutdown and the implications that had on schedules. So we're kind of looking across the board at calendars and understanding shifts and movements there. But I think in large part, the agencies were largely there in time. You're going to continue to see momentum in open data and the potential of open data through not only the exciting group of presidential innovation fellows we have on the ground working on it, but us at the White House are going to continue to drive those things forward.
After the press conference, OMB announced that agencies would have an extra month to meet the open data requirements because of the government shutdown. The government shutdown and its impact on the federal IT community also came up during the press conference.
The Anti-Deficiency Act guides, you know, how you manage a shutdown and incurring costs for the government. And it's at each agency. Right now, it's at each agency's discretion to basically decide, is this service like funded from a prior year? Is it allowed? The goal here is to avoid government shutdowns. It's not re-engineer the entire way we provide essential services. And hopefully, in the context of teachable moments, I think we maybe learned that a government shutdown is not good for the economy, for jobs, for other things, and we're seeing the impacts of some of that now. That being said, I think some of these, you know, as companies rely on, private sector companies rely on government data, I think making them available and essential out of the context of a government shutdown mm-hmm. will be something we have to think about. We know large vendors who use large amounts of data will typically take our data, offload it, process it themselves, and host it out of their own data centers instead of trying to hook into the government APIs. And in many cases, we don't want them to hook into government APIs because we don't have the resources to manage their load in addition. So I think there's a balancing act we can find to make sure that we're providing uptime, much in the same way that, you know, weather and GPS are provided by the U.S. government to these providers in real time. And those are deemed essential because they're squarely in the sights of the safety of life and property.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We just finished listening to a press conference from Federal Chief Information Officer Stephen Van Rokel after he spoke last week at the ACT-IACT Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT-70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Plus, for a limited time, government employees can enter to win a free course and a free course for a colleague. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. Great news for the Beltways. Save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 13 new LearningTree centers, conveniently located around the Washington-Baltimore area in Columbia, Manassas, Frederick, Stafford Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to win a free course for you and a colleague. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We will now listen to excerpts from Federal CIO Stephen Van Roeckel's speech at the ACT-IACT Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia last week. In this part of his speech, he details his 2014 priorities. Van Roeckel says the problems with the healthcare.gov portal show there are still many needed reforms in federal IT.
Another key focus is then from that learning, go on and do continued reforms and take that learning forward into what we do. I think we need to get very aggressive in reforming many aspects, and I'll talk about those in a second, as well as pushing the needle on smart risk taking, lowering the risk surface so failures are not as risky and thinking differently there. And then the last thing, and this is something we should all embrace, is continuous improvement. You know, waking up every single day saying, not using that's the way I've always done it as an excuse to move forward, but instead, you know, I need to do things in a different way. And so thinking about continuous improvement is essential here. And then it's in the hands of everyone, from the person at the help desk, the developer, the project leads, the CIO, the head of the agency, all the way up is essential to think about continuous improvement and trying new things and doing things in new ways. So my priorities for FY14 and beyond, three of these will look very similar: innovate, deliver, protect. It's some of the themes here at the ACT-IACT ELC. I added a fourth very important one that I think is the undertone of almost every conversation we have in federal IT, and that's about people. You know, how are we thinking about the people inside government? When you talk about the innovation agenda, talking about STEM and creating a vibrancy in the marketplace of the United States, as well as in the private sector and public sector, and people are at the heart of that. And it's essential to think about, you know, how are in government are we attracting and retaining talent? In an environment where you have sequester, you know, driving morale in a different direction than what you'd like to see, in many cases furloughs at agencies where people are getting a somewhat arbitrary pay cut and sent home on certain days of the week. In the midst of all that, it's really hard to attract and retain top technology talent in government. We have some of the best and brightest. I mean, I've worked side by side with people in government that far surpass some of the people I worked with that are some of the most elite people in the private sector. But for the future, and thinking about, you know, as the cybersecurity threats evolve, as we build the next solution, as we think about how to drive innovation forward in government, it will be the people that we attract and retain that'll lead us on that path. So a part of that is training and redeploying. You know, keeping up our training and thinking about how do we train and drive that new wave throughout the people we have in government, make sure they're up to date on what they do. Now, this is a category where it's becoming easier and easier all the time from the standpoint of online courses and things that you can do from that standpoint. Redeploying is about, as we drive efficiency into government, you suddenly take an agency from 20 email systems to one, you're going to have a lot of email administrators out there. And I think on the redeploying and reskilling standpoint, we need to think thoughtfully about not only the cut part of the equation on driving those costs down, but how are we investing in our people and training them to redeployed to do more meaningful work inside the agencies. External resources are also important and will be a priority for me for 14. This is the continuation and the scaling of the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program, looking at how do we bring in external talent to work side by side, partner with government. We've also discussed a reverse of that, where federal employees could take a turn out in the private sector and do work there. If you go check out the last President's Management Advisory Board meeting, we had a presentation from Jonathan McBride, who's now the head of Presidential Personnel, talking about this concept and how we're sort of at the early stage of thinking about this. And then the last is managing the expectations. you know, both on continuous improvement and thinking about performance of agencies, how do we keep our people engaged to a point of thinking about the outcomes that they're driving? What is the impact I'm doing? I think for too much of what we do is at the tactical level. People think, you know, I come in the morning, these are the set of things I do throughout the day, and then I leave at the end, instead of what impact am I driving? What am I going to drive in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you know, a year? And then how do I back away from that to understand what things I need to get done to go drive that impact? And turning the lens slightly on that and thinking about impact, thinking about driving that is hugely, hugely important. We need to move out of tactical into the strategic and think about how that that impact is weighing. The innovate category, that'd be a lot happening in FY14 in innovation. One of the new focuses you're going to see in this category, because I've talked a lot about economic growth and open data and the things we've been doing there, both on the mission side of government, as well as how do we deliver opportunity for the private sector to use government data and to drive this outside, is around the new category's effectiveness. You know, we need to think about innovation as it applies to serving our customer, the American people, the American businesses, and things like that. If you go up to a web browser, Google, and type in, you know, how do I export my product, and limit that to government websites, you'll see probably 10 agencies represented on the first page. You go to USA.gov, a federal website for aggregating content. The number one search on USA.gov is about driver's licenses. That's a state-level thing, a state and local thing. So our customers, the American people, are one, having to understand the org chart that is government to navigate it for something as essential as exporting your product. And by the way, if you take a day out of an export cycle in this country, you actually move GDP in a meaningful way. And you have the American citizens out there viewing government as one entity from the state to the local and the federal. And so, that, you know, as evidenced by that search on USA.gov, or our failings of civics classes, I'm not sure, but it's something that I think we really need to think about. How do we have an outside looking in? You know, and the challenge I have for federal agencies out there, and I've talked to actually cabinet secretaries about this, if you're doing something great in customer service, let's scale it. Let's think about how you move that across government. Because I think there are shining lights out there where agencies will say, hey, I'm doing a great job. Look at my call center survey results. Look at my website traffic. Look at this. The problem is they're doing that in isolation, and often it doesn't relate to the other things happening around them. But to the American business, the American citizen, they don't understand how to move around in that sphere. So we need to think about that and employ 21st century technology to do it. You know, there are ways to actually get customer service done in a way that seizes upon and utilizes the latest in innovative technology. The president asked us at one point during the formulation of the management agenda, how come I can't track my passport application like I can track a package on Amazon? You know, as one example of how you can employ 21st century technology to do this.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We are presenting excerpts from Federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel's speech at the ACT-IACT Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Plus, for a limited time, government employees can enter to win a free course and a free course for a colleague. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. Great news for the Beltways. Save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 13 new LearningTree centers, conveniently located around the Washington-Baltimore area in Columbia, Manassas, Frederick, Stafford, Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to win a free course for you and a colleague. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We are presenting excerpts from Federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel's speech at the ACT-IACT Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia last week. In this part of his speech, he gets into priorities around open data.
That is going to continue to be a hugely important part of what we do. And I'm excited about the innovation challenge you've all laid forward on thinking about modular and bringing that together. I think the marrying up of reusability and openness and modularity is so essential to our future and will be the way we move the ball forward on this. I think we also need to really think hard about, you know, our buying power in government. How are we combining our efforts to really shape the marketplace? Probably the biggest point of light on this was the digital strategy and the work that actually Margie did on mobile devices and security of mobile devices, where we put out a reference architecture for the device manufacturing vendor community to look at and reference. And now we're starting to see devices built on those specifications. And so it's a great thing in marrying up what was really kind of a phenomenon when I was growing up, which was the government would lead the way often in technology or speccing certain requirements, and then that would bleed into the private sector and the country would benefit from it. Deliver is about both efficiency. How are we saving money? How are we driving efficiency into everything we do? But also, how do we get better results out of our systems, our agencies, our department, and our people while being more efficient? Can you cut costs and deliver better results? I think you can, and there are ways to do that. Part of it is thinking about how you're delivering better solutions faster. You know, oftentimes when I sit down to agencies and they're talking about something they're doing, I'll say, what can you show me in 60 days? What can you show me in 30 days? I mean, think about, can you do customer-centric and customer deliverables in those timelines and start to drive this notion of modularity and other things and quick delivery into the system? Culture of cut and invest in depreciation is also essential. You know, I think a lot of what we do is very protectionist in government, where you wrap your arms around your budget and you say losing your budget or losing some investment that you're managing is tantamount to you of losing control, losing authority, losing oversight, losing ability to manage, you know, your domain. And so we really need to think about how do we inspire a culture inside government of cutting what's not working and investing in what is. You know, take from the bottom of the balance sheet, put it at the top. You know, steal from the OPEX column to give to the CAPEX column. We have to figure out how to think about that virtuous cycle that exists more prominently in the private sector of the success of the organization is more important than the success of the small, and to think about how do we then drive the reinvestment, cut invest mentality. Buy once, use often is also a key tenet of FY14 strategic sourcing, thinking about how do we scale our buying power across the federal government. Modular, I've talked about, and lowering that risk surface is so important. Monolithic failure cannot be the norm in government. We have to get down to making solutions small and then connecting those solutions together. And so the risk surface goes to the size of the solution that's there. And then the last point is about service-centric organizations. So what you often see in agencies is you have a headquarters office, and in that headquarters office is a CIO and a CFO and a CAO and all the C-level executives, the deputy secretary, et cetera, and they run IT for themselves. And then you often see IT running out in these individual bureaus that'll have their own CIO, their own acquisition people, their own finance and budget people, and things like that. And they run in such isolation from each other that there's a disconnection. That's where it's why we've ended up with multiple email systems in every agency, or having procurement motions done in such a way that they're very disconnected. We have thousands of mobile contracts. Or solutions that get built at the edge, where then at some point there's finally a phone call back to the CIO at the headquarters saying, oh, by the way, you need to support this new big project that we just shipped. That's completely outside your architecture, completely outside everything else. And I don't have the help desk to manage it, et cetera. And you can just imagine and paint the picture and probably reference many agencies around DC that have that. That's broken in many, many ways from the standpoint of the duplication that exists across these spaces, the lack of consistency in architecture, the lack of consistency in cyber, and the people that manage it is orders of magnitude more than thinking about this. The other thing it does for me is it takes the edge, the people in the bureaus and the offices and the agencies that are part of a department, it takes their eye off the ball on their mission. I want a CIO to sit out there in those periphery agencies and bureaus, but I want those CIOs to wake up every single day thinking about their mission. I'll give you an example, the Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Transportation. I want there to be a CIO there. I want that job to be attractive with that title, and I want the level of authority to think about that stuff. But if they're not coming to work every day thinking about flight safety and going to bed at night thinking about flight safety, we've failed. You know, I would suspect that there are many agencies and departments out there where the CIO shows up at the bureau office and they're thinking about, is my email up? How's the BlackBerry service doing? What's the throughput of my help desk? Where am I on these commodity contracts and things? The way this needs to change is, one, you know, headquarters needs to own kind of what I will call a commodity. And I will, you know, put quotes around that. I know there's sort of a lot of debate out there on what calling things commodity, but services that are pretty common across multiple entities, you know, I'm labeling as commodity services, like email and mobile contracts and things like that. Plus, I think the headquarters really needs to be the centerpiece for cyber technology and specifying what cyber is out there. They then need to set up a service-oriented infrastructure that says that when these bureaus or offices on the edge of the network come to you and say, hey, I've got an idea for a great new citizen-facing app, you say, great, here's a development environment as a service. Here's a test environment. Here's a deployment environment. And when you build it in those environments, they're built to our enterprise architecture. They're built to our security standards. We can probably wire up business intelligence and streamline procurement and all of that sort of stuff. It lets the edge of the network think about mission every single day, and that's important, and will really yield the results we want to see in government. The last key area for us is cybersecurity, and there's a lot happening in cybersecurity from our continuous diagnostics work that's going to flourish in fiscal year 14, as well as FedRAMP. We've hit 11 providers in the FedRAMP list now, and that continues to grow and is one of the exciting areas that we're driving cloud computing forward. The president's fiscal year 14 budget dedicates $13 billion to cyber spread across securing federal networks, the stuff I just mentioned, protecting critical infrastructure in this country. We did an executive order last year that is a guidelines for us on how we're actually protecting critical infrastructure, improving incident response in government. So how do we communicate incidents? How do we work with the industry on sharing incidents that we see? And then shaping the future cyber environment. I think this is, as anything, and always an evolving target and something that we have to balance our investment, the work we do, to meet the needs of cyber. So to close, my call to action for all of you, and hopefully you took out some of this from the fiscal year 14 priorities for me and my team and for federal IT all up, is one, you know, just really kind of taking that notion of continuous improvement, bringing everyone together, communicating that both at the vendor community and at the agencies, and really knowing in yourself that you own that future. You know, the success or failure of future projects are really about how do we evolve? How do we change? How do we do things differently than the way we've done in the past? We don't use that. That's always the way we've done it, or that's always the path we've taken as the excuse for how we move forward. We have to really create a culture that is about excellence, that's about those impacts that I mentioned, not the tactics, and is about embracing and shaping a future we want to see, questioning the norm and pushing hard.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we played excerpts from a speech by Federal CIO Stephen Van Roeckel from the ACT-IACT Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, in late October. To see more coverage from the ELC conference or to listen to previous Ask the CIO shows, please visit federalnewsradio.com. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show has been brought to you by Learning Tree International. If you missed any portion of this show, you can hear it in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com.